Beloved radio friends, in the precious and worthy name of the Lord Jesus, we greet you warmly and welcome you to the study of God's precious word once again. It is our humble but our earnest petition to God that you are being blessed, instructed, as well as edified, built up in the word of God through the ministry of this program. We come to the concluding message relating to the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. We have touched upon his personality. We have also touched upon various phases of his ministry. May I repeat in order? The work of the Holy Spirit as we have considered it in this series of messages. First, we considered his great ministry of convicting the world to bring men and women to Christ. We considered, second, his great ministry of regenerating. He alone can impart and does impart life, eternal life, to those who believe on the Son of God. We trust and pray that you are one of the many who have found Christ the Savior. If not, we plead with you to come to Christ and find him today before it may be too late. The third phase of his work, we consider the ministry of his indwelling, that he has taken up his indwelling presence within the heart and soul of every person who has believed upon the Lord Jesus. May I repeat? Upon believing, my beloved radio friend, every believer receives the Holy Spirit. He dwells within them. The fourth phase of his ministry we considered was the sealing of the Holy Spirit. When Paul says, not only were we indwelt by the Spirit, but upon believing we were sealed by that Holy Spirit of promise, who is the pledge of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. And the sealing of the Spirit is God's seal. That believer belongs to Christ until Christ comes to claim that believer at his blessed return. And then we consider, fifth, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in baptizing. The baptism of the Spirit, once again we emphasize, was not the mere speaking in tongues, but the baptism of the Spirit according to 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. The believers, all on the day of Pentecost, were baptized into the one body, which is the formation of the church. And the church was formed on that day. It was the inauguration of the church on the day of Pentecost. And everyone who has been saved since that day, immediately upon their conversion, they shared into the truth of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They were placed by the Holy Spirit into the one body to share that wonderful organism as a member of the body of Christ. And then we touch, six, upon the ministry of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Blessed ministry that we need as believers to realize more and prove more fully today than ever before. And then, seven, we had the joy of considering the ministry of the Holy Spirit in teaching us the Word of God. May I once again reemphasize his great ministry of teaching. My beloved, you and I have a wonderful teacher when Christ is our Savior and the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And he shall teach you all things. He shall guide you into all truth, was the promise of the Savior. And please may I remind you, my fellow believer, you'll never learn any more about the truth unless you get your Bible and let the Holy Spirit guide and direct you as you study and meditate upon the precious Word of God. He is the divine teacher. May all of us know more of the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Last of all, closing our ministry on this subject for the present time, we would consider his ministry of restraining. For he is the world's great restrainer. Yes, he came on the day of Pentecost, but he is still here. He has not left the world in his present relationship to it, but he continues in the world and will until his present work during this period of grace, the age of the church, will be finished. But I want you to consider with me in closing the solemnity of this study that he is the world's great restrainer. I read a scripture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I read the 7th verse of that chapter, where Paul by the Spirit has written, "The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth," and the word means, "he who now restrains, will restrain until he be taken out of the world." Now, if you will take the time to read this second chapter of 2 Thessalonians, which we do not desire to go into in detail, but if you will read from chapter 2 of this book, 2 Thessalonians, and from verse 1 through verse 12, you will learn one of the most solemn facts of prophetic truth that there is to appear upon the earth, the greatest and most wicked world leader that the world will ever have known in human history. Can I repeat that? There is yet to appear upon the earth a man who will be the greatest leader of human wickedness as well as satanic wickedness who has ever been known in the history of the human race. In verse 3 of this chapter, 2 Thessalonians 2, he is called that man of sin. He is called also the son of perdition. And a man who will dare to call himself and proclaim himself to be God. Now you might be asking, who will he be? I could not tell you. I thank God personally, I will not be here upon the earth when he will be revealed. For a careful reading of this chapter, and particularly in verse 1, indicates to me that before he can be revealed, the church will be taken out of the world and gathered together to be with Christ. And the apostle says, after that gathering to meet the Lord in the air, then shall that wicked one be revealed. But going back to the 7th verse of our chapter, Paul has told us, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Now what is this mystery of iniquity? Literally, the mystery of lawlessness. Now lawlessness may be no mystery in the world in respect to the lawless conduct of men, but how many realize that the Word of God teaches the Christian that Satan, as the god of this age and the prince of this world, has a definite plan to overthrow God's government upon the earth and to shut God out completely and to dethrone Christ and put a man, his own man, Satan's own man, in control of world government. I don't know whether you realize it, my beloved friend, but the government of this world is headed into the hands and the control of Satan in the most direct way that it has ever been known. And he will have a human leader who will take leadership for him in that capacity. Now in Paul's day, Paul said it was beginning to work then. And it's been working ever since. And unless you've got rose-tinted glasses, my friend, as you look around you in the world today, don't you see that the thing is heading up that direction? And that the man of sin will certainly be soon manifested upon the earth. And though it has been working even since Paul's day, it has been under restraint. A restraint imposed in order that the man of sin may be revealed at the appointed time, not before. But who and what is the restrainer? The best explanation from this 7th verse concerning the fact, he who now restrains will restrain until he be taken out of the way, the best explanation is that the restrainer is the Holy Spirit, dwelling with and in the church, the people of God on the earth today, restraining the revelation and the manifestation of this wicked character until the rapture of the church has taken place, and the Holy Spirit in his present capacity will be removed from the earth. For he who now restraineth will restrain until he be taken out of the way. Now I'm sure you may ask the question rightly, Can wickedness get any worse? Well, beloved, may I state, yes. Indeed. For there is abundant evidence that even now divine restraint is being thrown off, and lawlessness against God and his authority is spreading with great rapidity everywhere. Now, if this is so, surely we should realize that the removal of the restrainer, the Holy Spirit in the church and the church identified with the Spirit, the removal of the restraint may be very, very near, the rapture of the saints. Oh, my beloved, I thank God for all the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But oh, may I state as we close our study on this great doctrine, the Holy Spirit will not be on the earth long in his present capacity. The end of the age is upon us. My fellow listener, my fellow friend, may I ask, when the Holy Spirit takes the believers in that wonderful day when the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God with a shout, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air, in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. May I ask you, my friend, will you go then? Or will you be left to thus recognize and come under the judgment of that wicked one who will be publicly manifesting and who is called that man of sin in that coming day when God will begin his strange work of pouring out his judgments upon the ungodly of the earth? Yes, today the Spirit of God is the restraining one by his abiding presence within the believers today. But when the church is gone and the Spirit takes her to meet her Lord in the air, his restraint will be over and wickedness will become worse as the age closes under the drastic visitation of divine judgment at the end. You know, friend, I'm glad I'm saved. I pray that you are too. Father, we thank thee for this study. May it be a blessing to all in Jesus' name. Amen.